Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and what a great guest we have to help get you ready for the eclipse. It's Molly Webster, Radio Lab senior correspondent. I'll just ID you for people who don't know, and tell everybody that Molly will be hosting an eclipse party plus a science and storytelling event in Austin, Texas, where the total solar eclipse will be fully visible. Hey, Molly, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Brian, how are you?
Good. So what are you doing in Austin? What's your event going to be?
Well, so I'm backstage right now at the Long Center, which is the Performing Arts Center in Austin. And we're just having sort of a science nerd night meets lawn festival vibes. There's going to be musicians and storytelling and sort of a stage show from noon until 3 p.m. Austin time. So from point of moon reaching first contact with the sun through totality till the moon actually totally leaves North America.
Don't you at Radio Lab love this? Like, everybody's a science nerd for one day.
It is really fun. There's high expectations, though, and a lot of clouds. So we'll see how it all balances out.
Uh-oh. All right. And listeners, you're invited in on this, too. Maybe first priority to anybody who has experienced a solar eclipse in the past. What's the most memorable thing about it for you? Do you have any tips for people who will be experiencing an eclipse for the first time today? Like, how do you get the most out of the experience? 212-433-WNYC for anyone like that. 212-433-9692. Call or text, or you can ask some science geek questions. Molly Webster's great for that. 212-433-9692. Have you ever been in an eclipse before?
No, so I've only seen partial eclipses. And the only partial eclipse I saw was 2017. I was in Brooklyn in New York, and there was the partial eclipse that came through. And that was really fun. I was out in Red Hook for that. But I've never seen a total one. And as I've been doing reporting, I've been almost on a media blackout to avoid seeing any images or videos of like what it could be like, because people keep describing it to me, but I want to almost go in as blank as I can, which is tricky reporting on it.
Yeah. There was nothing like this media coverage in 2017. So is this going to be much closer to total in the New York area?
It will be closer to total in the New York area. And it's just, I think the reason this one is just getting so much press is because it's covering so much of America. I mean, you have something like 30 million Americans that just are in totality based on where their houses are. And then you have millions of other Americans that are driving into the band of totality and like get the opportunity to experience this, which is just like heightened the frenzy.
Have you seen the Oreo cookies video that's going around social explaining how an eclipse works?
I haven't. I wish I had, but now that's going to be on my to-do list.
So listeners, if you want a quick, Science Geek 101 in very short form, Google Eclipse Oreo cookies, and you'll get something that you'll probably want to watch. People are starting to call, I guess, who have experienced eclipses in the past. I have experienced a total eclipse once in my life. Back in the 90s, I was in Costa Rica when there was a total eclipse of the sun. And I'll just share one thing that I remember about it with a tip to go along, and that is it's not just about looking at the sun. Yes, it's amazing, and I had those same glasses that I have ready for this afternoon, and that is amazing, and be very careful how you do it. Even if you have the right equipment, don't do it for long periods of time. Be very, very careful with this. But what I remember most is that it's not just about the sun. The whole environment around you changes. It becomes nighttime in the middle of the day. And maybe the single biggest takeaway that I have that has stayed with me through these years is that the birds started freaking out when it started to get to be like dusk, which signals them to do certain things, but not on what their body clocks were expecting, not on the clock their bodies were expecting, because it was the middle of the day. the bird started freaking out. And it seemed to me, and maybe this was an exaggerated perception, but it seemed to me like so many birds were tweeting wildly, which now people do, and the almost like flying every which way, confused. I'm sure I'm over remembering it, but I'm sure I'm over remembering it. But that's part of the thing, is the whole feel of the whole environment as things get dark. Some people I was with felt that they had a spiritual experience. You know, that's very subjective, but it's not just about the sun. And if there are nocturnal animals around where you happen to be, you know, if you're in the land of raccoons or skunks or bears, I didn't see this in my eclipse, but I gather that nocturnal animals might come out in the middle of the afternoon. And that might be another thing that some people see, depending on where they are.
I think this is one of the fun things about the eclipse, is we're all pretty caught up in seeing it. And it would be super amazing, right, to put on glasses and have a perfectly crystal clear day and see the moon just slide in front of the sun. But there's also, whether or not you can actually see the planets doing that, it's still going to get dark. It's still going to feel colder. The animals, the nature, there's still going to be a feeling and a response. And that feels really exciting to be part of.
Tracy in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. You're on WNYC. Hi, Tracy.
Well, hi. Hi, Brian. Honestly, didn't realize I would be put on live. I just wanted to share that I discovered this during the last eclipse that happened here in Lancaster anyway. Don't forget to look down and not to avoid looking at the sun, even if you have the right lenses. But if there is direct sunlight and you're near trees, anything with leaves, there are little sickle shadows all over any flat surface, and it's beautiful.
Huh. There you go. So another specific piece of advice, sort of along the lines of what I was saying, it's not just about looking at the sun. So that's a great one, Tracy. Thank you very much. Stephanie in Brooklyn remembers the 2017 eclipse. Stephanie, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi, Brian. Thanks so much. Long-time listener, first-time caller. I wanted to give the piece of advice after being there for the totality last time to not try to take a picture or a video, because it's just probably not going to be as good as whatever, you know, people with the professional cameras are doing, and just kind of enjoy the moment. Because I remember it went by so quickly, and it was truly wild. It was like you're on another planet for a few minutes, but, you know, just try to be there and not record it, because it won't be the same later, and, you know, be in the moment.
That's a good one. Don't forget to have your experience. And also, Molly, tell me if you have anything on this. I understand that it's dangerous to hold your cell phone, let's say, or look through any camera lens at the sun, even with the special glasses. And so, like, definitely don't use the telescope with the glasses. Definitely don't use binoculars with the telescope. Somebody wrote somewhere that I read that if you hold your phone to the sun in a certain way to try to get a picture, it can reflect off your phone in a way that, you know, might also damage your eyes. Let's say you're trying not to look at the sun, but you're holding your phone so that its lens is facing the sun. There could be a reflection that could be harmful, but not using other magnifying optical devices is something I've run across in a few places.
I would say that's all really great advice and definitely something to stick to. I mean, we're going to have in some locations, and here in Austin, we'll have scientists with telescopes who are set up ready for a moment like this, but I wouldn't be doing it sort of on your own in your own backyard, so to speak. And I do think, I also think just the sort of tone of the message of the last caller of just being present for a moment in time. One of the things that we're going to do here in Austin is not actually have anything happening on the stage during the moment of totality. So in the moments of lead up, and then the moment of totality, and then in some minutes after, just letting participants and all of ourselves who are going to be on stage just experience it the way that they want to, with strangers and friends, solo, with their eclipse glasses on, and just kind of be present for it. I mean, here in Austin, it'll be done in 1:45.
1:45?
1:45. Yeah. And then that's the length of the entire totality. And yeah. Then that varies across the United States. You'll get places, you know, in Ohio, even just outside of Austin, where they can get up to 4.5 minutes of totality. It's one of the longest totalities an eclipse has had in a long time.
Listener writes to what I was just saying, I bought filters to put over my binocular scope and camera. So maybe they make those filters. I'm not an expert on that, but just make sure you have the right thing if you're going to try anything like that. Listener writes, I experienced a total eclipse by accident in Antigua in the 90s. The Montserrat volcano was spewing a few miles away. It blew my mind. The light was going through the trees, all projected crested reflections on the ground. It would take me a far longer text to describe the spiritual experience. So that wasn't really an eclipse, but it was the effect of an eclipse caused by a volcano.
That sounds so exciting. I have heard about some other effect that can happen with the eclipse called like shadow bands. And these are everyone's talking about sort of the crescent shapes that are on the ground, but these are also almost like wiggly, worm-like shadows that get pressed upon the earth in different ways. And no one knows exactly why they happen. And sometimes people see them in eclipses and sometimes people don't. And so if you're one of the people that have seen a shadow band in any way, that would be cool to hear about, or I wish somehow you could take a picture of it, but I think that you really can't.
Listener writes, I was in Perry, Florida for the 1970 total solar eclipse. I was 8 and ran around the house and got scared in the eerie, quiet dark. So, and then this person sent us a photograph of his mother, sister, grandmother, and him. Another listener writes, cows started walking back to the barn in Georgia in that same eclipse, 1970. Timothy in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Timothy.
Hey there. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for calling. So you were in a total eclipse 2018 in Idaho, is that right?
Yeah, that's right. And I was living in Salt Lake at the time, and we drove up there. It was about a four-hour drive. We got to some BLM campgrounds, which was really cool because you're kind of out in nature and all that. And as you said earlier, during the eclipse itself, the birds kind of started making a lot of noise. All the dogs that were around, because there were different campgrounds and such, they kind of started getting nervous and kind of getting squirrely on your leash and everything. And that was all cool. And I think I vaguely remember us talking about the shadows as well. So, but I don't exactly remember what it looked like. But that was a really cool event. It lasted about a minute or so. And then the craziest part was coming home. I said it was a four-hour drive. It was 10 hours coming back. Everyone leaves at the same time after the eclipse.
Yeah.
So if you're going out of town, if you're going to be using a road, watch out on the way home. It's probably better just to hang out.
Thank you very much. Yeah, stay over tonight if you didn't stay over last night, wherever you're going, if you can. All right, we're almost out of time, but I'm going to play a clip from you guys at Radiolab because we've been talking about the sun. Everybody talks about the sun with the eclipse, but I want to play a clip from you at Radiolab about the moon, and then I'll give you a chance to say anything you want about the moon and its mysteries and why we should show it a bit more love. 48 seconds of moon facts from Radiolab.
You are my captive audience, and I'm going to tell you all about the moon in 10 minutes or less. You ready?
Let's do it.
So the moon does look a lot more like Earth than I would have expected.
Huh.
There are the craters that Latif remembered.
Right.
Plus it has a bunch of mountain ranges.
Okay.
A point that's higher than Everest.
Mm.
Scientists have found moon caves.
Ooh.
And they've also found volcanoes that are billions and billions of years old.
With lava?
With lava.
Whoa.
It's very, very dry, old lava.
Okay.
But really, the first thing I learned about the moon that really arrested me and made me want to know so much more about it is that the moon is covered in soil that kind of looks like sand. People will call it moon dust, but it's incredibly sharp.
Whoa. Like a little grain of it?
Yeah, a tiny, tiny grain of it is like razor sharp.
Molly, because the sun is what we can't see. The moon is what we can see. We have 15 seconds left in the show for anything you want to say about the moon or anything else.
I'm going to tell you that the moon is probably having a moonquake while the eclipse is happening. So just imagine it up there trembling.
Moonquake. Molly Webster, senior correspondent at Radiolab. Enjoy your event in Austin. Thanks for sharing with us. Good luck.
Thanks so much, Brian. Have fun.
And listeners, enjoy your eclipse experience and stay tuned for all of it.